Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Perspective, a show where we tackle paranormal and supernatural claims, conspiracy theories, belief in aliens, and pretty much anything you want to call us about. So if you have a belief that you would like to discuss with either myself or my co-host for the evening, Jim, give us a call, 951-364-2430. Jim, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I am doing well. So for those that don't know, last week we had quite the interesting call, and I'd recommend going back and checking out the show. This lady called in, and she not only claimed to transport souls to the afterlife, but she claimed to transport Charles Manson to the afterlife. So it was a very interesting one. If you have time, I highly recommend. It's also on my channel under the title Psycho Pumps, because I guess I didn't know that. That's a new term for me. That's Psycho Pumps transfer souls to the afterlife. Were you familiar with that?
Only from the show Dead Like Me.
Which is a great show.
It is. We were talking about it before the show, and it's a very quirky, good show that, of course, because it was quirky and before the age of the internet, didn't last, but still a good one. But no, I did not know they were called Psycho Pumps.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a shoe.
It does sound like a shoe. Or Psycho Pumps, not Pumps. Pumps.
My bad. Pumps? Oh, okay. Like Pomp and Circumstance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, we already have calls. Do you want to go ahead and jump in?
Yeah, let's go ahead and go.
Sweet. Our first caller is from Illinois, and they have a ghost in their house. Nixie, you're on with Ethan and Jim. How are you?
I'm doing pretty great. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. So your house is haunted. Is that right?
Yes, it is indeed.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. He seems to be friendly. Kind of passive aggressive a little bit. For the most part, everything is left alone unless I have too much stuff on my kitchen table. If I leave it too cluttered, he will push stuff across it. I've seen it move across my table. And I refer to him as a he because my daughter actually came up to me and said that she wanted to talk about her ghost friend, Ryan. So I'm assuming that it's him, hoping that that's who she's talking about.
Well, that's a little freaky.
Yeah.
So you've seen, when you say, he pushes things around the table, what kind of describe to me what happens and how often it happens?
It's kind of like if a cat is about to push something off of a table, how it just kind of scoots it. It's kind of what it looks like. If I keep my table clean, it doesn't happen too often. It seems to be pretty centralized to the table too. I can leave my desk super messy and nothing happens. But on that table specifically, he doesn't like stuff.
What kind of items do you see moving across the table?
Random things. Like it's different each time. Usually cylindrical, I guess, though. Like cans or sometimes my candles. If I have too many candles on the table.
So do the candles roll and the cans roll, or are the cans scooting across on their normal bottom? And how are the candles scooting across?
They both scoot around on the bottom like normal.
Okay. And go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Jim.
What have you done to eliminate any other possible cause?
I mean, I saw it happen. So.
Well, people see, people go to Las Vegas and watch magic all the time. Doesn't mean magic is happening, right? So, yeah, you saw something move, but what was the cause?
I mean, there's no airflow in the room that's strong enough to move anything. Not candles or cans, whether they be empty or partially full.
Do you know if it's
and it
oh sorry
happens when I'm alone. Sorry.
No, I cut you off. I apologize. Please continue.
Oh. It happens usually when I'm alone in the house. Like nobody else has seen the stuff scoot across. And it doesn't happen when my dogs are running around or anything like that. Like it's usually when it's quiet.
Is it possible that your table could be leaning to one side? Like, have you ever possibly like paid attention to see if maybe it's they only move one direction when it's happening?
I have, and I did put a pen on the table in different spots to see, because part of my floors are a little bit weird. But everything seems to be pretty level. And it goes back and forth. It's not a set pattern.
Okay. And nobody else has been able to see this?
Nobody that's told me, anyway.
And how long has this been going on for?
I've lived here for a little over a year. My boyfriend has been here for about 7 years, I think, and he's had other little experiences throughout the house not involving the table. And the family that owned the house before he bought it, he knew them growing up, and it was around when he was 15, I think, that some weird stuff started happening.
Does your boyfriend also believe it's a like ghost?
Yes, he does.
Would you be willing to set up next time you're home alone? Would you be willing, I don't know if you have like a spare tablet or spare phone, and set something up to record this so we can see if we can get it on camera?
I can try to.
Because that would be cool. I would love to see this happening.
Yeah, I mean, that would be... There are some visual hallucinations of where people think things are moving and they aren't, just because of the way it comes into your line of vision and things like that. That's why I asked, what have you done to eliminate more mundane possibilities? And of course, even when you eliminate those, you can't go to the supernatural without first proving it's supernatural, right? That's what in philosophy we call an argument from ignorance, which simply means that I can't think of anything else, so it must be this. And that's never a good argument to make. But to sit down and say, yeah, there's no error, that the table isn't rocking or moving in any way, that the table is dry, that the surface isn't slick in some way. There's not like a light coating of oil or finger oil or anything along those lines. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities to eliminate. And even then you're just left with, well, I can't think of anything else. But there still could be other, you know, perfectly mundane reasons. So the important thing is to start eliminating them and seeing what they actually are. The fact that it's only happening when it's you might be somewhat significant in terms of air currents, vibrations on the floor, things like that.
Are you open to the possibility that there could be a naturalistic explanation instead of a supernatural explanation?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well, that's a good answer.
I'm open to the realm of all possibilities and pretty much every instance. I'm very into science. Like I like facts. But you know, I also, it's, you know, stuff that I haven't been able to prove it's not supernatural yet, you know?
Right.
And are there, aside from the things moving on the table, are there any other things happening in your home?
Yes. On occasion, trying to think of how to describe the layout. On occasion, you can kind of see someone walking down the hallway if you're sitting on the couch in the living room, where like you can see the shadow move. Not quite like, it looks like the shadow of a person, but you can't see the person. It's happened when my boyfriend has been here, like he and I have both seen it. One of our dogs freaks out every time it happens. The other two don't seem bothered, but one of them, he kind of spazzes out. He starts howling.
I've seen that actually happen before. So I personally, like, I don't believe in ghosts anymore. But one of my ghost stories was this is many, many years ago, and I was at my girlfriend at the time's house, and the dog, and I never figured out what it was, but the dog refused to go upstairs to the top, like, attic. And if you tried to bring the dog up there, it would start howling and freaking out. And that, to me, at the time was like, holy shit, there must be some type of ghost up here, especially because this fantastic story came with it that this girl was allegedly murdered in the home. So I was heavily convinced. And to this day, I don't have an explanation for what happened. And I'd be curious if anyone out there knows, like, what other possibilities can cause a dog to act like that and get deterred from a certain area so easily. Jim, any thoughts on that?
Well, dogs are sensitive to smell, so it could just be something he was smelling something he didn't like up there. It's hard to say. I was watching a dog the other day trying to go up one of the gangways at the marina and absolutely refusing to go up. And neither the owner nor I could figure out. There was nothing there. Was it supernatural? Was it just a dog deciding, hey, I don't feel like walking up this steep ramp today? You know, and the owner went to pick him up and he cried a little bit, but he's, you know, once he got up the ramp, he was okay. It's hard to say with an animal because we just don't have any way to interrogate the animal and find out what they're actually seeing.
Right.
And, you know, a dog does have a sense of smell that we don't have. I don't remember off the top of my head if their eyesight is as good as ours. Yeah. And their hearing as well.
I believe it's better.
Yeah. Well, I know it's not color. It's not black and white like we think it is, but it's not full color either.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I'd have to go and do some research on that dumb ticket. But yeah, and they're hearing also. So there may be something that you can't hear. You know, it's outside human hearing ranges that's happening. So
is that beeping on your end, Jim, or is that?
Yeah, that's on my end. I don't know why it's doing that because all of my sound is routed through my headset except for that.
Oh, I think it's the Facebook. Anytime we send a message in there, the Facebook Messenger.
Well, let me tell it to shut up. Be quiet.
In the meantime, if you have a paranormal or supernatural experience, conspiracy theory you want to talk about, give us a call. The number is at the bottom of the screen, 951-364-2430. And if you're not a patron or you're unable to become one, please share this video. Get it out there, so more people hear about it and will call us with their experiences. If Nixie, if we were able to come up with a few, tests, like off, I wouldn't be able to come up with them now, but if off the air, I can come up with some tests and send them to you, would you be, when you have free time, of course, would you be open to trying some of these so we could investigate and possibly eliminate any other possibilities?
Sure.
Sweet. I'd love hearing that. Jim, did you have any other questions?
No. If it's bothering you, I would sit down and try and figure out exactly what it could be. I think it'd be an interesting puzzle to solve, to kind of figure out what actually is going on, with the cans and the other stuff, and try and actually see if you can recreate it, right? If it's only when you're there alone, it could be, you know, if it's an older house, it could be something as simple as you're creating a vibration in the floor somehow, and things move. Is it moving with sound? Because most cans, when you scoot them across, unless it's a really slick surface, make noise. It just lots of things to think about before I would jump to the supernatural as a possibility.
They do actually make noise when they scoot. That's how I noticed it the first time, because I could hear something moving and I turned to see what it was.
Yeah, so it's got some possibilities for being something other than supernatural.
Well, what I will do, Nixie, after the show, I'm going to get with one of my colleagues. If he's watching right now, Puck, I know you can come up with some test scenarios if you could assist with this, and I'll reach back out to you if that's cool.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Have a good one, Nixie.
You too.
I get genuinely excited when people are not only open to testing, but when they're willing to say they're open to the possibility that there could be a naturalistic explanation, because some people just close themselves off and they become so convinced that it is the supernatural that they're unwilling to, you know, even investigate the possibility that there could be, as you said, Jim, some mundane explanation for what's going on.
Right. And people, when they think air currents, are thinking big currents moving through a room. And it doesn't have to be a room-wide current or a current necessarily coming out of a register or an AC vent. You'd have just a slight little bit of movement with the wind where the room is accelerating that movement in one particular direction and catches the can. And things like that. Because you see acceleration zones and sailing and things like that off of the wind. As the land heats up and cools down, it creates wind as well. And so there are a number of ways to create breezes and wind movement that don't necessarily require AC to be on or a fan to be on. It could just be a light bit of air movement in one part of the room that gets accelerated and pushes something. So there's a number of ways to, you know, so putting like little tufts of yarn on the table that are attached in one place so you can see the wind current, especially if they're really lightweight, or some really good ways to do it to check. But they have to be really lightweight because you may not be looking for a lot. Making sure that the surface is clean, those kinds of things can all be part of figuring that out.
Ready to get to our next call?
Yeah.
Well, before we do, just a reminder, we do also take conspiracy theories or any other claims you want to make. If you're interested in discussing them, 951-364-2430. We do currently have open lines. But in the meantime, we have a caller from New Jersey who says they have proof of the paranormal. Trisha, you are on with Ethan and Jim. How are you?
Hello, Ethan and Jim. I'm fine.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me.
So if you could walk us through what your most compelling evidence is for the paranormal being real.
I don't even know where to begin, but all right. There was, well, my son died.
Sorry to hear that.
7 years ago. And it took a while for, I always knew I had something, and I'm sorry about my lisp, but I had mouth surgery. That's why I sound like this.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's all good. I'm beautiful again.
Okay,
all good. So 7 years ago, he died, and it took like about, I guess, like a year and a half before it really opened up to, you know, because I was raised Catholic, then Christian, reading the Bible, you know, God. And I'm not saying I don't believe in God, but I'm saying that there is definitely life after death, 100,000%, 100,000%.
That's fairly confident. What leads you to that? What leads you to that conclusion?
I know it. I would bet $1 billion on it. And I have all the proof. I have videos. I have pictures. It's been going on for 7 years. And when I say my experience, a big bin of clothes goes flying across the room. Like, I was so scared. I was shaking. I'm like, I was ready to leave my apartment. My boyfriend was there at the time, witnessed it. And I'm like, oh my God, I know this isn't my son because he wouldn't scare me like this. But then he, like, I thought, because I can telepathically communicate. And I put my head down for a minute. I was like, think, you know, and what I got was, mom, go look in that bin. Went and looked in the bin, and in it, I found one of my hats that was like a woolly hat that there was a hole in it, which had things in it that were stolen from me, from my boyfriend. Okay. My son wanted me to find that. That's one of a million instances. But there was.
Do you have video of the thing of clothes flying across the room?
Oh my God. Yes.
You 100%. Do?
You do?
I have a witness to that. Yeah, and I do have many witnesses to my experiences because I wanted people to see I can make it happen on call. Like I could say, make this happen and it'll happen. Like there was a stocking hanging. There was not even an ounce of wind. It was so still that night, not a leaf blowing, nothing. Stocking hanging from someone's like outside gutter.
Trisha. I hate when I lose my train of thought. The videos of this, do you have, first question. You're not by chance anywhere near Chicagoland, are you?
No, I'm in New Jersey.
Damn. Because I would have loved to come up, since you say you can do this on command. I would have loved.
Yeah, I can. I could probably do it through, you guys on video. But see, this is the thing.
Okay.
I want to get off topic.
Let's, if we can,
aliens.
let's commit to that. I would love if you can set this up. Like, let me know maybe this week. We're in contact with Facebook. Let's set up a video call via Facebook, and you're saying you can on video replicate this in front of me. Is that accurate?
I can do something. I can definitely do something.
Now, is this I only in your home, or can you do this at any location?
Yeah.
Can you do this anywhere, or just only at your home?
No, I could do it anywhere.
Okay. Is there a university nearby with a physics lab?
Ooh. I wouldn't know. Actually, I've been looking into that because I have. There's a rock that I want tested. So I really need to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
I can bring you the most amazing life-changing things that you'll ever see in your life or witness. I promise you that.
Well, I've heard this before, so I always hope that it's true. Life-changing things are always great.
Heard from me, but I have the proof.
Okay. And well, yeah, I mean, set it up with Ethan. I'd love to be a part of that. And see if we can't find you a physics department where they can actually measure things.
There's a paranormal and alien.
Pardon?
There's a difference between the paranormal, like the spirits that like have moved on, people that have passed, and then aliens. There is a difference. It's a different dimension. I don't know what you would call it. But
sorry, Trisha, right now, were you talking about aliens or were you talking about the paranormal?
Whatever you want to talk about. I got it all.
No, I mean, up until this point, though, when you say you can make these things happen,
I can, whatever you prefer, one or the other.
And was this happening while the James Randi Foundation was offering $1 million for proof? Because offer is no longer around, unfortunately.
I know. You know, I saw that, but it ended like after I saw it. I've been trying to contact people. It's very hard. It's very hard. Very hard to contact people directly because, you know, they don't get your messages forever. I was going to do a podcast like you guys or like a video live. But it's like I'm going in circles because I'm doing this alone, but I have all the evidence and I have the gift to bring it.
We can definitely help you with this. I know for a fact that I could commit, as long as you can do what you say you can do, I can definitely set up a Facebook call with you, video, and we can go through and see. And if what you're saying is true and if this can be replicated, I will be the first person posting the videos proudly and admitting that my mind has been changed. And additionally,
I can't wait.
Additionally,
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
If this can be proven, it's going to, I don't want to say win a Nobel Prize, but I think it would if you could prove it.
Yeah. And it would have to be in a location that we can control, where we can eliminate a wide variety of chicanery.
Because they are two separate things. I want you to understand that.
Well, we're only talking about the supernatural right now.
Yeah, we're just talking about like your paranormal experiences, not aliens, just to avoid confusion.
So put aside the aliens, which is the biggest life-changing event, even though they're making hybrid here. I have everything.
Yeah, and so again, going back to the supernatural real quick, I mean, Penn and Teller do some amazing magic that isn't real, of course. So
I can
doing it in a location you control is not going to impress me at all. Doing it in a place where we can actually eliminate
all the different magic
tricks and things like that, where we can actually inspect what's going on before it happens, those would all be things we'd be interested in. Otherwise, it's not a test, right? Because
I agree.
Video special effects are fairly good these days, and so we've got to eliminate all
that. I wouldn't
even
know how to do that, but yeah, I got you.
I would be willing to bet that through using StreamYard, we could do this without
what is that?
Them. It's the application I currently use to host. It's like can it be, instead of a Facebook call, we would do a StreamYard call. I would just send you a link and it would pull your video feed in. And if I'll go as far as to say, if we can prove this on video, I would bet that I could find somebody to fund you to fund us to either fly out by you or you fly out by us and we do this in person. So the first step is getting this on video.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Now, you said earlier, if I'm remembering correctly, you said you can communicate with the paranormal, like ghosts.
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Can you communicate with people who have passed along?
Yeah, that's what a ghost is.
Oh, yeah, just making sure. Okay, so let's say I told you that my brother passed.
I don't like calling it ghost because it sounds like scary. You know, there's a lot of dark and, you know, people, like negative energy. It's all about energy. Like, I know when there's a presence, I feel it. Like, I'm like, okay, they're here right now. And that's exactly when it happens. I can, like, I'm talking about, like, life going on TVs, but, like, it is very hard for them at times to pull through, but I pull them through. Like I say, make two white birds fly by, two white birds will fly by. Make this turn around, do a 180, and it is not even, there's no wind, and it will do it. I've had many of that. It's not like, oh, that thing just was like moving in the wind, you know, or just be like, I see a dog in the clouds, whatever that thing's called. What is that called? Pareidolia or whatever. No, it's not that. Yeah, it's not much.
How did you eliminate pareidolia as a cause?
Like, I have real shit.
How did you? I don't know if you heard Jim. Trisha, Jim was wondering how you eliminated pareidolia as a cause.
Because people have said to me in the past, well, if you see a face in that picture, I'm like, no. People are so closed. That's the problem. Some people are they're scared, because I've had people that are so skeptical, atheist, I don't believe in this shit, blah blah blah. Well, they sat by me for a second, I brought it, and they're like, oh my god. And now they could give me a testimonial that yes, I could attest to the fact that she is telling the truth, because it happens and I bring it and it's real. But a lot of people are scared of the unknown, the unfamiliar, you know, especially with aliens. They could destroy us in a minute. If it could go inside of us, or even the spirits, but you have the control, because nothing demonic will come around me.
But
I'm protected by that, because I don't allow it.
I don't know if I missed it or if you didn't answer the question, but what process did you use to eliminate pareidolia as the explanation?
What process? Because I see it with my own eyes.
Well, that's what pareidolia, that's the definition of pareidolia.
You touch it with your own hands?
Yeah, but that's alien. We're flip-flopping, so I don't want to do that to you.
Yeah, let's try it. So
we're talking about clouds, and you say the clouds clouds take formations and that you said it wasn't pareidola. And my question was, how do you know it wasn't that? Yeah. What process did you use to eliminate that as a potential?
Well, all of the proof that I've had over the years, either on video or with my own eyes, like, for example, there was a tree that was planted for my son and someone else who had died. And
okay, you're wandering off the point. I'm looking for a process, not another story. No, I'm looking for a process. If there's a process that you can do to prove it one way or the other, that it's not just pareidola.
But what process would you use? Like, that isn't. If I show you what I have, you'd be like, shit, that isn't that. Like, that's the process because I have the real shit. I can make it happen in front of your eyes.
Like, right. And I've seen enough magic shows not to trust my eyes. And so, mm-hmm. You know, I've watched enough James Randi debunks. I've watched, you know, Johnny Carson used to do this to all kinds of psychics just on his show. You know, back in the day when he was popular on the Tonight Show. So seeing is not believing for me, right? I want to actually see what is the process you use to prove that this actually is what you say it is, right? And you have to be careful mm-hmm. because just because you've eliminated everything you can think of doesn't mean it's supernatural.
But when you see things moving on a video that shouldn't be moving, things happening.
I immediately think special effects. I watch a lot of movies.
Yeah, but I don't do that. I don't know how to do that.
I would expect you to claim that if it wasn't true. This is why, you know, Ethan and I want to set this stuff up for you so that we can eliminate all of the chicanery possible, that we get down to it is this, right? You know, that it is something other than.
How would you do that if you're through video?
Well,
like, how would you know that I'm not having something on my phone? I understand.
So what?
I don't know.
It would start with, I get what you're saying, but it would start with us doing this on video. And after
am I speaking to Ethan right now?
One sec. What'd you say?
Are you Ethan?
Am I what?
You're Ethan, right?
Yeah.
Am I speaking? Oh, okay. September, November. Okay. You know.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm good. Trust me. You want to bring it? I'll bring it, guys.
Okay. So let's do this then. Let's test this ability right now. My brother passed away 10 years ago. Can you tell me how he passed away? Or tell me anything, anything significant about him?
I saw a big smile. I don't want to say this because I hate saying this, but there's two things that came to me. I saw something internal, like an internal bleeding, but I saw marks on the skin.
That's not accurate.
There's no marks on the skin?
No.
Really?
Really.
Are you sure about that?
100%. It's not, I'm not going to say what he died from.
With a leg, right? Because that was the first thing that happened in my head was a leg, something with a leg disability around you.
Definitely not a leg disability.
Okay.
What could we do to get you in better communication with my brother right now?
His name. Wait a minute. All right, hold on. All right, I'm trying to feel it right now.
Hey,
who has the initial S?
Ethan, go ahead and turn your camera off so she can't read your face.
No, S, the initial. Is there an initial S around you?
There is no initial S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I can do this. Just give me a minute.
We have a couple more minutes left. So, if you can do this, that would be great.
was 10 years ago. He was younger than you?
Yes, he was younger than me.
It was something that was...
For those watching right now, by the way...
Tragic?
Was it something tragic? I mean, that's pretty broad, but yes.
No.
Could you narrow it down?
Okay, it was an accident.
That's really broad. Could you narrow it down more than it was an accident?
Mm-hmm. Was it motorcycle?
Not even close.
All right. Hold on, just wait.
I'd say we'll give you one more guess.
Okay. Something blue. There's like something blue, but it was like some kind of machinery or something. I don't know.
No, so you're definitely way off. So I would say
no, I am way off because I'm not concentrating. Hold on.
All right. Well, no. So we do have to.
I can do this. I know I can.
We do have to move on in just a moment. So what I would like to do is I will contact you after my stream is over, and you and I can set up a time to do a video chat, and then we'll go ahead and you can show me what you're claiming. You can show me on camera. Will that be okay?
Yeah, I can do that, but I'm not. I'm still stuck on your brother. Can you give me his first initial? Just his first initial.
Sure. B as in boy. I'll give one more guess, then we have to wrap it up and move on to the next caller.
I don't know why I'm still seeing like bleeding and marks on the skin now. It's weird. Something around at the root or neck or something. I don't know.
All right. Well, I don't think we're getting anywhere with these guesses. But Trisha, I do want to thank you for taking the time to call in today.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, all right. And I'll bring it down. I promise you.
And
but it
I will,
won't be you. It'll be someone else. It doesn't matter. I'll do my own. But I really appreciate your time and thank you for having me. And if you're serious about this, call me.
I'm 100% serious. So I will follow up with you after the show tonight. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Trisha. Okay, I hope you have a good day.
Yeah.
Good call on having me turn off the camera.
Well, it was obvious she was trying to cold read you, and it's also obvious that she had completely forgotten that there is a delay. What your response, you know, and she wasn't accounting for the delay, I don't think. Cold reading is an easy thing to do. It's harder to do off of just strictly a voice, and your voice stayed pretty monotone throughout the entire conversation. But yeah, I have less confidence than I did before that she has anything that is going to be interesting. I think this is going to go the way of every other debunk, right? Once you start taking control away from what they're doing, you know, this is another Yuri, what's his name, with the bending the spoons.
Yuri Geller.
Yeah. He's still around bending spoons with his mind, by the way. His embarrassment on Carson 20, 30 years ago didn't stop him. Because there's one born every minute, and by that I mean sucker. So,
yeah, people, you know, still believe this stuff, and that's why I want to continue to talk to them and investigate these claims. And I can assure the audience, she has connected with me on Facebook. So after this show tonight, after the Discord after show, I will send her a message, and I will get, as long as everything works out on her end, I will get a video chat set up as quickly as possible. I'll invite Jim to do it as well. Record the thing and see if anything comes out of this. And I will happily, if it's anything remarkable, I'll of course post it. If it's interesting, I'll post it.
You should really focus on finding a venue that she's not going to be able to control or get to beforehand and prep in any way, shape, or form. And it should be things that, you know, a basket of laundry would be pretty hard to get to move without some prep, I think. But I would definitely make some contact with some magicians and try and find a test that you could do in a venue that is controlled. If a viewer happens to be in New Jersey and near the collar, then that would be ideal, right? Use someone else's house or someone else's garage.
I will, like, so if we can set this up and I do see something compelling that she's doing, then at that moment I'll turn to my audience, turn to the people I know and say, you know, how can we get this funded for us to meet up and do these tests in person? You know, I'll contact the James Randi Educational Foundation if I need to, see if they're willing to help out. But to me, the first step is seeing if it's even worth going to that level, because we have a lot of people that make these claims and then there's no payoff. So to me, the easiest way is to start here.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Before we get to our next caller, I want to thank our super chats and meet Matthew. Something blue, something old, something borrowed, and something to support this channel. Thank you, Amit.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
Left, right, left says S is for super chat. Thank you, left, right, left. You know, next time you're on, Jim, I got to make sure you have access to call-in studio so you can see all the calls. But in the meantime, we got a couple of calls, so I got to get to our next caller. Is going to be from Texas. They're a former atheist and wants to talk about conversion, spiritual but not specific religion. And then after that, we'll get to you, Khalil and Nate. But in the meantime, Jonathan, you're on with Jim and Ethan. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Can you speak up a little bit? It sounds like you're far away from the mic.
Yeah, can you hear me better?
Yeah, there we go. Awesome. I'm sorry. So you used to be an atheist.
Yeah.
What changed your mind?
Well, I guess you could say I was sort of forced to stop living the life that I was living, because for like the majority of my life, about 28 years, I didn't believe in God. You know, like I prayed to God, nothing happened. I was like, you know, it's full of it, you know? And one day, you know, I found myself, you know, stuck in prison, and all I had available was a Bible. Like I had no TV, no social media, no nothing, you know, like you're in prison, you ain't got shit. So all I did was read the Bible. Like I read the Bible about 3 or 4 times over, like from start to finish.
Okay. That's once more than I have read it.
I kept finding myself able to put myself in that situation of whatever the story was talking about. Like say, for example, the story of Job, like, I found myself a lot like them because I had just got my college education, like my degrees and stuff that I was working for and all that. But all that was taken away like once I was, you know, put in prison. So all I did was pray. And basically I found my faith in there.
So you're at a low point in your life. You start reading a book that 3 or 4 times you said, which is at least one more time than I've read it, because I've read it twice. And then that book convinced you that God was real. So what about that book convinced you that God was real? Because that book didn't convince me. In fact, I got serious problems with large sections of that book.
Well, I didn't read just one version. I read a lot of different versions of the Bible. Mm-hmm.
And now, they all have the same problems.
The King James Version.
And the worst of them all, yeah.
Like I studied the Quran as well.
Okay, but what was it about the Bible specifically that convinced you? Was it God sending bears to go eat children who are making fun of a prophet?
No. What got me was when I read every single, like, I read them all, and they all recognized Jesus in some sort of way. Like, even though, like, they didn't recognize him as, like, you know, the Son of God or whatever, but they recognized him as an actual person, you know, like a prophet or a fisherman or whatever.
But it's a book. Why hasn't the Dresden Files or Harry Potter convinced you that Harry Potter is real?
They can't prove that sorcery is real.
Can't prove that God's real either. Not from a book.
Well, they can in a scientific view.
What science is supporting anything in the Bible? Because bats are not birds. You cannot get striped goats by having non-striped goats have sex in front of a fence, right? The flood could not have happened. There are multiple scientific disciplines that give rise to that lie. The Exodus never happened. There's absolutely no archaeological evidence for that many Jewish people being in Egypt at any time. Certainly not anywhere close to the numbers. You need at least 1 million Jewish folks. Never happened. We just go on and on. There are things that just never happened. There's no scientific evidence for. So what are you claiming there's scientific evidence for?
I'm going to say in the Bible, there is scientific evidence of creator.
What? Evidence of what?
The Higgs particle.
The what?
The Higgs particle.
No.
The Higgs particle?
Have you heard of
the Higgs boson particle? There's no evidence. What leads you to believe that the Higgs boson is predicted by the Bible? And these people didn't know where the sun went at night.
The Bible. I just said it represents the creator. It represents that, you know, something didn't, you know, something didn't just pop out of nothing, you know, like.
Yeah, the only people who say that something popped out of nothing are Christians who don't understand science. Physicists don't even know that the philosophical nothing or absolute nothing even exists. The closest that some physicists think you can get is to create a Faraday cage, wrap the Faraday cage in a bunch of lead so you don't have any radiation, electromagnetic, or x-ray or any of that coming through. Take it out to a part of the universe where gravity is zero, and you would then effectively have nothing, except you don't really have nothing. You still have all the quantum fields that physicists don't think you can get rid of. So there is no nothing that something can come out of. And you would still need to prove that anyway. You just can't say that. So, yeah, that doesn't buy you anything here.
Well, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. The something from nothing isn't accurate. It was the Big Bang was an expansion, not like an explosion. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's an expansion, and the Big Bang is not nothing, right? The Big Bang was energy that converted to matter, and we got the universe to really, really broad brush stroke stuff.
Yeah,
to the point of ridiculousness.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I believe that, you know, you can't get something out of nothing. Like that's just impossible.
That's not what I said. I said nothing is impossible to prove that exists. So the statement makes no sense. Oh. The statement is not supported by science. Nothing does not exist as far as science knows. You would need to demonstrate it's possible for nothing to exist. Yeah. Oh, also, cause and effect is an emergent property of the universe. It's not a fundamental property. So cause and effect doesn't get you anywhere either. So like I said, we keep going back to the same question. What science are you talking about that supports the Bible?
Well, like I said, I didn't say science supports the Bible. I said science supports that there was a creator of some sort, not necessarily the Christian God. Because I'm not religious. I don't follow the Bible. Like,
So
but I do believe that there is a God, there is a creator. Like, now all of this can just be luck, you know?
Well, I wouldn't say it's luck, but I guess my main question to kind of follow up with what Jim was saying is, what science are you saying supports a creator? Because I have yet to see any science that supports a creator of any kind.
Well, I said the Higgs particle. They nicknamed it the God particle.
Right, and there are multiple physicists who absolutely cringe at calling that because it doesn't prove that there's a God. The Higgs boson particle simply is is the particle that gives us mass. That's it. There's no God there. Exactly. There's no God there.
But it was a creator, right?
No. Well, no, they just named it the God particle. It's not, doesn't actually have anything to do with God.
It gives out mass, is what I'm trying to say. Right?
Yeah, it gives mass, but that doesn't prove there's a God. And specifically, Leon Letterman, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist, referred to the Higgs as the goddamn particle, as opposed to the God particle, meant to poke fun at how difficult it was to detect the particle. So even then, it's still iffy.
So it sounds like what we got left is you prayed real hard and you found God. Is that accurate?
Well, no, not really. Like I had to lose everything. In other words, like I had to lose all that I own out here and go in there and just read a Bible and put myself in the stories of the Bible. Like, don't take the Bible literally, like it's some kind of, like, you know, like journal or some shit. Like, it's all made in metaphors, like parables.
So why? Because there's some pretty...
You won't understand the Bible if you just, like, read, like, a regular Bible. Like, study Bibles help understand, like, what the words mean. Like, oh, they meant that. You know, like, it's not supposed to be taken literally, in other words, is what I'm trying to say.
But why
why
should we take the Bible seriously at all?
Well, there's some good things about it. Not all of it's bad.
I could say the same about any book written.
I know that. I mean, it's all perspective. You know, like you might be this. You know, the Book of the Dead is a better book, you know, but that's all perspective. That's all on the person. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, I found God because I prayed, and the stuff I prayed for happened.
Someone's French fries are done with that beeping. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just keep hearing a beeping.
It's all right.
Okay, so real quick, I just again to circle back, I have this one last question before we move on to the next caller. Why should myself or Jim take the Bible seriously at all? Whether it be as stories or as fact, why should we even consider it?
Well, when you read a book, do you not put yourself in that situation, or are you just reading words?
I do that with almost every good science fiction and fantasy book I've ever read.
Exactly.
Except the foundation doesn't actually exist. Middle Earth doesn't exist. Yeah, Middle Earth doesn't exist. The foundation doesn't exist. Frank Herbert's Dune, that doesn't exist. You know, I said science fiction and fantasy. These are things that don't exist. And I put myself in those situations in those books all the time. That's why I like reading them. So I'm not going to take any of those as being real. Why should I take the Bible being real?
Oh, as being real, you mean?
Hey, why should I think anything in the Bible being real when there's so much evidence that, most of it is at best historical fiction? Emphasis on the fiction and not the historical.
Well, I'm not sure. I've been trying to find the name of this video that they showed us in prison. It was a documentary made by an atheist who went to Egypt and studied all this shit, like, to see if it was real or not. And she found, like, some things that were real, like the Dead Sea Scrolls. Yes. Were real.
Yep. The Exodus is not real.
You know, the
Exodus never happened. The Exodus never happened because the Jewish folks were not enslaved by Egypt in the numbers that the numbers claimed. They didn't live in Egypt as free people, the numbers claimed. In fact, most of the Jewish folks were Canaanites, which is why they were never able to eliminate the Canaanites, despite however many times they tried. But their history traces right back to Canaan. They were Canaanites. This is the archaeological history. So there's no archaeology that supports that claim. And you know, one of my pet peeves is people who say, I was an atheist and now I'm a theist, and here's why. It's like, were you ever really an atheist? Right? So there's no evidence. And you can go read Jewish newspapers and see where they announce, again, another Jewish archaeologist saying that it didn't happen. Egyptian archaeologists say the same thing.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that the entire Bible is real, but all I'm saying is that there is a creator, whether or not you call him God or not. Like, there
How do you know that? What leads you to that conclusion? Huh? What leads you to that conclusion?
Well, I mean, to look at life, like, you don't see anything being born just by itself. Like, a person isn't born, you know, just by one person alone. Like, they need two people, right?
But how is that? So that's just evidence that people can procreate. That's not evidence for God.
It's evidence of creation of life is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, that's creation of a life, yes. But if you're talking about creation of life in general, that's called abiogenesis, and there's a whole branch of science dedicated to that.
Well, Jonathan, I would, if you have the time, I would definitely recommend listening to this call back. Appreciate you taking the time to call in today.
Thank you for having me, man.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Hope you have a good day.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
You know, whenever someone says, like, look at life, that kind of also reminds me of the, which I thought he was going to go there, the look at the trees argument. You know, none of, unfortunately, what he presented could be considered, in my opinion, evidence for God.
Yeah, there's just nothing there.
I'd like to read Tiffany M's super chat. Thank you. Sorry about your brother, Ethan. Thanks for all you guys do. Love the show. Thanks for watching. Okay, you ready to... So if I know who this next caller is, I hopefully I'm not inaccurate, but this is also a former atheist turned now Muslim. The topic is how to find truth if it exists and how can we ground it. Khalil Allah, you are on with Jim and Ethan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Was I right? Is this who I think it is?
Yeah, bro. What's up?
Not much. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I haven't seen you guys live in a while. I actually caught you at a good time, so I figured I'd call in.
Well, thanks for the call. What did you want to talk about?
Yes. So obviously I've had a whole discussion with you. You had me on for an interview on my conversion, on how I went from atheism to Islam. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a lengthy process. So I have another thing that just kind of solidifies part of that process. So I won't be arguing specifically for Islam, because I believe that if we are going to go from an atheist position, there's certain steps that had to be taken with me from a hard atheist to get from that to a theist position. So I would like to present to you guys a thought experiment that we can go through if you guys are willing to, just to talk about truth and what it is and how we can ground it.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, cool. So what I would start off with is just asking questions just to make sure that we have the same agreements on things. So if you, Ethan or Jim, were to say the ball is red, or you were to write it down on a piece of paper, right? That would be a statement that you would write. I am learning Arabic, so I can slightly read and write Arabic. So I would write down Al-Quratu Hamra, which means in Arabic that the ball is red. Those would be two separate statements that hold the same proposition or mean the same thing. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, sure. I'm not a huge fan of this line of quote unquote argument. I'd much rather have you present your argument and then we can discuss terms and make sure that we know exactly what we mean. Leading people down a path like this is just down for a logical trap.
This process is just making sure we agree on all terms, so it's perfect.
What's the term you're trying to agree on? Because you haven't defined a term yet, and you just asked a question if we'd make a statement the ball is red. What's the term
Statements is what I was trying to agree upon. That statements and propositions are distinct from each other.
Yes, they are distinct from each other. You could have just asked that question.
Perfect. And statements or propositions themselves have a truth value to them. So if we were sitting in front of a ball, the object would be the ball. The statement would be our description of the object. And then the proposition would be the truth of the statement. So that proposition would hold a certain truth value to it. In our reality, there's the three classical laws of logic. Either things are true or they're false. So if we are experiencing this ball in front of us, it could be, ruling out solipsism, it would be true that the ball is in front of us. So the proposition would have a truth value to it.
Yes, we've already agreed to this, and you move on, please.
Perfect. Okay. So does truth exist in reality?
Do statements conform to reality? Yes, they do.
Does truth
conform? I just answered the question. I answered your question.
Okay, so does that mean the same thing as my question?
I don't know. You're going to have to determine that for yourself.
So are you saying does truth conform to reality?
No, I'm saying does truth itself exist in reality, either as a physical object or a conceptual object?
And my answer was truth is that which conforms to reality. That is what truth is.
Wouldn't that be knowledge? That which comports with reality?
I think that's, no, truth is that which comports with reality. Knowledge is justified true belief.
Yes. So justified and true would mean that it comports with reality. And anyways, so we're agreeing that truth actually exists in reality. You guys are just using different words to say the same thing. Perfect. So truth exists in reality. Is truth a physical thing or a conceptual thing?
Depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about 1 + 1 = 2 being true, it's conceptual. If we're talking about a ball existing, then it's physical. So it depends on the topic.
So the ball would be the object. And then we have the statement describing the object. And then we have the proposition that's bearing.
Yes, I gave you two examples. I gave you two examples. 1 + 1 = 2 is true. Okay. That's a concept. There's nothing real about 1 and 1 equals 2. So in that case, truth is a concept. However, if you're also talking about a ball existing, then that is a physical thing. So truth can be physical or it can be conceptual depending on the topic and the statement.
Okay, perfect. Let's go with the 1 + 1 = 2 because that is what I would say is a necessary truth. It's a truth even without humans existing that 1 + 1 does equal 2. Now the language, we wouldn't have the language of mathematics to use, but the ontological truth or the truth value of that would be that 1 + 1 = 2, regardless of human beings able to conceive it. Now, conceptual things, are conceptual things mental things?
I think the answer is in the definition of concept, which is the root for conceptual.
So a concept is by definition a mental thing. So if 1 + 1 has always existed, and conceptual things are mental things, and truth is a conceptual object, that means that for as long as 1 + 1 has equaled 2, that there has been a conceptual object, which means that there has been a mind to ground that conceptual object. Jim, welcome to pantheism, at least pantheism.
No, what? No. See, you completely missed my point. So when we're talking about truth as a concept, truth is true for conceptual things. And then we can also talk about things that are true that happen to exist in reality.
Yeah, cool.
So you have to first prove, so my mind conceiving of it does not mean that there is some pantheistic mind out there conceiving of the same thing. It just doesn't exist that way, right? You still need to prove that.
So let me summarize this. You've agreed that statements are distinct from propositions. Propositions have truth values. Truth is a conceptual thing to when it comes to some truths. 1 + 1 is a necessary truth that has always existed. Truths, you say, when it comes to 1 + 1 is a conceptual thing. Conceptual things are by definition mental things, which means that they're grounded in a mind to be a mental thing. Therefore, as long as 1 + 1 has equaled 2, there's been a mind to ground it in.
We've agreed. No, because 1 + 1, because we've already agreed also that 1 + 1 would equals 2 would exist even without a mind.
Right.
How?
Well, because objects exist without a mind. Therefore, if I take one object and if I count the number of objects in a space and there's two objects in there, it doesn't matter if there's a mind or not. We've already agreed to that as well. That's your problem.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're conflating the whole actual objects with the conceptual thing. I was just focusing on 1 + 1 = 2,
and you said you don't need a mind for 1 + 1 = 2. That's just how we express it.
Yeah,
but is that a conceptual thing? You've already agreed that 1 + 1 = 2 is a conceptual truth.
Yes, it is a conceptual truth, sure. But it's a conceptual truth about things, right? It's literally, I'm taking a set of one and a set of one and combining it into two. That's all conceptual, but I can still have two things that exist outside of a mind. And when they get within, when they come together to be part of the same set, right? We use concepts to describe reality, is what I'm trying to get at. Okay. So we use this, and Jim, so that doesn't require a mind.
Okay, Jim, I'm not talking about the objects. I'm talking about the truth of the claim. We keep going back to the objects, and I'm trying to move. I'm specifically speaking about the truth, which is a conceptual thing. If it's a conceptual thing, you've already agreed. It's a mental.
If there's no mind to understand the concept doesn't exist. That doesn't mean 1 + 1 is
exactly, which means that if 1 + 1 = 2 doesn't need a mind, then that truth doesn't exist. And let human beings come along to be able to conceive of it. So are you saying that 1 + 1 = 2, the truth of that, there's one thing and there's another thing, and those things equaling 2, is that true? You say that it's not true until human beings exist.
Until there's a mind to conceive of the concept, yes. Okay. That doesn't change the fact there are two objects.
Create truth.
Pardon?
I didn't know that. I said I didn't know human beings created truth.
No, you see.
I don't think that's what he said.
That's not what I said at all. Nice try, though. I mean, you're doing a really, really good job of using some really cool rhetorical tricks to try and trap me, which is why I absolutely positively hate this line of quote-unquote reasoning. So no, human beings don't create truth, but we can conceive of things that are true. You need a mind for concepts. And
are things true prior to human beings existing?
Concepts? No, or not human beings, minds. I don't care if I don't care if they're human beings, minds. Concepts don't exist without a mind. So you're confusing things. When you say things, you need to be very specific. Are you talking about balls, or are you talking about concepts like 1 + 1 = 2? Concepts like 1 + 1 = 2 don't exist without a mind. Balls exist.
Okay, perfect. So are you saying that before human beings, that the truth of 1 + 1 = 2?
That's a concept. It does not exist without a mind. Yes. How could a concept exist without a mind? That's my challenge to you. I don't.
Hold on here. Let's try one more. I don't want to waste a whole bunch of your guys' time. Let's go back to the singularity, right? Let's just say that according to the Big Bang theory, there was a singularity that expanded.
According to one model, there was a singularity. There are multiple models for this, and not all of them include a singularity.
Sure. So yeah, we're just going to look at the singularity itself. If whatever existed, let's just say any model that you want to pick from, whatever, either one of those models are true or it's not true. Would you agree with that?
Yes, the models are either true or not true. Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So at some point in time, there was some type of existence, and whatever that thing was, it had an identity to it. Would you agree with that?
How are you using the word identity? If you're using it in a classical sense,
A equals A. Within philosophy, identity is A equals A. So for example, a ball is a ball and not something other than a ball.
Yes. In that case, yes.
Okay. And is that a truth that existed prior to human beings existing?
I've already answered this question. I don't know why you're coming back to it. Yes, things exist. Concepts only exist with a mind.
Not things. You're missing it again, Jim. Things.
Physical objects, balls, desks, whatever this crazy little thing is in my hand, these things exist. Concepts like 1 + 1 = 2 only exist with a mind.
Yep. And I'm not talking about the objects, Jim. I'll say this again. We're going to the truth of the proposition that's describing the object. So is the truth the proposition itself?
Okay, so description, ontology, right, exists whether someone is there to observe the truth of an object or not. So this thing is silver-ish, metal-ish. You could say there's some red writing on there, and it's kind of rectangular, right? This thing exists whether my mind exists or not.
Is that true?
That this thing exists whether my mind is here or not? Yes.
Okay, so does that truth exist?
I just answered the question.
No. This is a separate question. I'm not sure if you're getting it. That's why I'm trying to really hone down on this. That not the object itself that exists, not the statement that's describing the object, but the truth of the proposition itself. Does that proposition is that truth an actual thing?
What proposition?
That thing exists regardless of if your mind exists or not.
If you're saying the proposition that this exists is true, yes, that proposition is true because this exists.
Okay. And is that truth itself, not the object, but the truth itself, a conceptual thing?
I have no idea what you're asking. That sentence was complete gobbledygook to me.
I'm sorry.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Basically, what I'm saying is that I asked you if there are conceptual truths that exist. You said yes. If there were things that were true at the very beginning of the universe, yes. The objects themselves don't need a mind.
No, you got something completely wrong. You just got something completely wrong about what I said. Conceptual things are true, but need a mind to exist.
Jim,
I would go back and watch this again.
It's not going to help because I keep restating myself over and over again. And you keep thinking I'm confused, and I don't see where I'm confused. And if you can't point it out, that fault is with you, not with me.
I'm not thinking that you're confused. I know you're confused.
Right, but you can't explain it, so therefore I'm probably not.
This is deep philosophy, and it took me a long time to get this too.
You can be so condescending sometimes, you know that?
I'm not meaning to be. I'm just stating that.
I can be too, and I probably have been here as well.
Jim, to get it on a 15-minute phone call, I'm just asking questions.
Right. And my answer is still conceptual things need a concept, need a mind to be true, so to speak, to exist. This does not need anything. Anything we say about it, you could say is a concept. The fact that it's somewhat rectangular, that it's got kind of an shape of a wing to it. All those things are true. That's all descriptions of the object itself. And all the statements about them are simply concepts, right? Because that's how we use language to express and describe what we do with the universe around us. That language is all nothing but concepts, and therefore needs a mind and it will not exist.
Exactly. That was my point. When we were talking about these things that existed prior to human beings, and then these concepts that are describing the truth of the actual physical object.
Those descriptions are what requires a mind.
Okay, so the truth of those descriptions are what require a mind.
Sure. That sounds about right.
Okay. So things need descriptions for them to be true?
No. No. Okay.
It can be true without descriptions, without human beings creating a language to describe them. They're either true or false, regardless of if human beings exist at that time, which means that truth as a conceptual...
I completely lost you. I'm not following you at all. You wandered down some rhetorical path that my brain is not going to follow.
Rhetorical means that there's no need for an explanation, and I think I have to explain this to you.
No, rhetorical doesn't actually mean that, but okay, go ahead. Yeah, I'm trying to get you to explain it, but you're going through so many gymnastics to try and get there that it really is kind of boggling. So descriptions are how minds deal with reality, right? There's no need for a description for something that is not being perceived by a mind. And there's no need for a description if that mind is not trying to communicate something either to itself or something else.
Can you prove that?
Sure. There's a rock out there that nobody can see. It has a shape that nobody knows what it is. That rock exists. Mm-hmm. And we can tell that rock exists without actually observing. We can only postulate those rocks exist.
Observe before?
Pardon?
I said you can tell there's a rock that exists that you've never observed before?
Well, it is highly likely, given what we know about the universe, that there are a lot of rocks that exist that we've never observed before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the truth of that is that true, not the object itself, but the truth of it. If that truth exists, you've already said that's a conceptual thing. So prior to human beings...
No, the descriptions of things are conceptual. The thing itself is not conceptual. No, and this is what I keep going back with. You keep conflating the thing with the description of the thing, and they're two separate. I don't want to use the word thing again. The object and the description of the object are different because the description of the object is that person's concept of it.
We got about 2 minutes left.
If I write down the ball is red on a piece of paper, that's not my conception of it. My conception of it is the proposition.
And I can prove that it's your conception.
Jim, we've already agreed. You've already agreed with me that there's a distinction between statements and propositions.
Yes.
Now you're going backwards.
But I want to go back to what you just said about the concept of the red ball. Now, I have no idea how many different shades of red there are, but someone could look at that red ball and claim that it's actually pink or chartreuse or brick red or firehouse red or some other red. And they would still be correct in saying it's red. They're just more accurately to them describing what color the ball is, right? Now we get very particular and say that ball is a particular wavelength of light, reflects a particular wavelength of light that we consider red. But those are still all descriptions of the object, not the object itself.
Sure.
So all right, Khalil, we got 1 minute left.
Yeah, no, that's all right. We're just going to go in circles again. I appreciate you guys for having me on. I'm satisfied with the conversation, and I hope you guys have a good night.
You too.
Okay.
I am going to make a prediction right now.
Uh-oh.
Within 2 weeks, this call will be clipped out, posted on his channel, and he will be reviewing it with his Muslim philosopher friends.
He's one of those guys. One of those guys who was he one of the ones that debated Cease in what was it, a 5-on-1 Cease, and I think his brother.
There was someone where it was like a 5-on-1 debate.
They do that 5-on-1 debate. I mean, we're doing 2-on-1 here, but that's mostly to avoid dead air. The 5-on-1 stuff, and if he's one of those guys, yeah, their logic is so.
I was trying to follow to the best I could. And Jim, really glad you're here because philosophy is not my area. But it seemed like it came down to 1 + 1 = 2, therefore pantheism. Like that's
what why I laughed. I really try not to laugh at callers. But he deserved it. And I will laugh at him again if he tries that again, because that's just completely stupid. He made a leap to someplace that didn't go there. But yeah, it comes down to he's trying to say the description of the object is the object, and that's not the case. The object, and two different people looking at the same object can describe it in very different ways, right? Even using the same language. So the descriptions are separate from the object. Anyway, yeah.
Well, you ready to get to our last caller?
Yeah, sure.
By the way, Asexual Atheist, thanks for the super chat. Said, nice job, gents. Okay. By the way, for those that don't know, after the perspective, we go on to Discord for the Discord after show for about 15 minutes, talk about the perspective, and those watching can ask us any questions. But our last caller, they want to know if I don't think this is I hope this isn't a prank call, but is Jesus a natural clone of the Virgin Mary? Nate, you are on with Ethan and Jim. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Hey, Ethan. Good talking to you guys. Is this a new show? I just happened to actually run into it. I thought I should call you folks. Thanks for taking my call.
It started about a year ago, so fairly new.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for how'd you find it?
Actually, it hit my Facebook feed because I also follow some of the other stuff that your colleagues have. Atheist Experience with Matt and for Jim is always there. I've seen it a few times on it. And then I think there's Talk Heathens, and I think it's so because I'm subscribed to one of those, I think Facebook also dropped this into my feed.
Well, I
posted it on my Facebook page, so you may be following me, and I don't know if any of the fan groups picked it up.
I follow you. I've seen
the okay. Books. I apologize for my page.
No worries, my friend.
Yeah.
So all good. Quick 10 seconds. I'm not a theist follower. You probably prefer theist, right? I'm not. I'm an atheist. Sorry, am I still on or off?
No, you're
okay. Okay, yeah. So the idea I had in my mind was, so Christianity or the Bible, right, has all kinds of accounts in it. Mm-hmm. And one cannot with absolute certainty say that, let's say, Jesus didn't exist. You can't say that. Nobody can. It's possible, right? Jesus existed. And I'm not saying it's likely. I'm saying it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, if that is possible, then also maybe his mother gave birth asexually. It's possible. It happens in the animal kingdom.
I was hoping you were going down this route.
you got Komodo dragons, and you also have Burmese pythons. Big creatures, right? Not very different from us in many ways.
Yeah.
Who reproduce asexually. But here's what happens, right? When they reproduce asexually. Exact clones of mommy.
Yeah. It could very well be that if Jesus did not have a father, that it was an asexual clone. And that would actually mean that Jesus was did not have male plumbing.
Exactly. He didn't all the male, tribal appendage.
Yeah.
But the beard and stuff. And so I think if that's true, we should also comprehend the possibility of all of human race, the entire human race, since the foundation of Christianity, having been taken for a ride thinking that Jesus is a guy.
That would not be the only ride they went down, right? Because Jesus would be transgender, I believe. I'm not an expert on this. This would be something to call the Transatlantic Show and talk to Katie and Arden about. But I believe that would make Jesus a transsexual as well, to make them trans. Or non-binary at the least, right?
Right. Non-binary, transsexual, or plain female, just taking everyone for a ride.
Yeah.
You don't know that, right? So so what that also does is, you know, we should also look at ourselves and say, maybe we are wrong. Maybe maybe Jesus was around, but he's female, right?
Right.
I think that's a line that just kind of struck me yesterday. I'm like, oh my, yeah. So I didn't want to waste your guys' time, but if it was going to be, I was just about to end my day. I'm in California. I just got off work almost when I called you folks. And but all the conversation I've heard so far was also very interesting, especially the guy just before me, the 1+1=2 memes and theism. That was way, way above my head. I just couldn't out at that point.
We only have about 3 minutes left in the show. Was there anything else you wanted to cover, Nate?
No, my friend. I think that's all I just wanted to talk about. But if you want to use those 3 minutes more productively than a conversation with me, by all means, thanks very much for your time, my friend.
Awesome. Right, Nate,
thank you.
Thank you for watching. And I appreciate you waiting on hold for so long and taking the time to call in. And sorry we didn't have more time to talk.
No, don't worry about it. Enjoy your shows. Always great. Thank you much for everything you guys do.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yep.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Well, that was a doozy of a show.
It was. It was lots and lots of fun.
Yeah. So next week on The Perspective, Secular Rarity, will be on with Genevieve. If you're not familiar, Genevieve is Dave Warnock's co-host on their new show, That GD Show. I highly recommend going to Dave Warnock's channel and checking it out. I get to produce it, and we do it every single Monday at 6 p.m. The Perspective, like I said, is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Then this Thursday is The Pickup Line with Hannah Vaughn and myself. It's a call-in show on dating, relationships, and sex. And it's at 9 p.m. Central. And it is a call-in show. I'd like to thank our top-tier patrons, Cindy Plaza, Left, Right, Left, Kenneth Leonard, Sky, Jump and Shoot, Oz, Secular Rarity, Philip Leach, Caitlin Beyond, Toast, Richard Gilliver, Sunset Sarge, Amit Matthew, Ray Sylvester, and Kyle Brewer. Thank you for your patronage. And also a special shout-out to YFNA's own Kenneth Leonard, who just got married this past weekend. Congratulations.
Congrats.
He's now on honeymoon. Can't wait for him to come back. Jim, what do you got going on?
I'll be on Atheist Experience next towards the end of October. I think they've got me scheduled for the 18th, actually twice in October. They got me scheduled for the 18th and the 31st. Not the 18th. The 18th is a Monday. The 17th. I don't remember. I would have to check my calendar. So that'll be the next thing that's up, although I take that back. Actually, I'll be on the line next Sunday before then.
Oh, awesome.
Then I do believe they got me scheduled twice for October for Atheist Experience as well. So, yeah, that's about it for me.
Awesome. Well, Jim, thanks for doing this. Thank you to everyone who watches and tunes in every week. If you do want to become a patron, you can become one for as little as $1 a month. If you can't, no big deal. Share this video. Believe it or not, it makes a difference. So please share it with your friends. If you know people with supernatural or paranormal beliefs or conspiracy theories, have them call the show. We need the callers. So thank you. Like and subscribe. All the good stuff. And we'll see you in the Discord after show in about 5 minutes. Good night, everyone.